You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it is Tuesday, which around here we like to call Camel Eve. But it is Tuesday right now, pouring down rain where we were. I mean, well, actually, it just stopped, didn't it?
Like, just stopped.
As fast as it started, it just stopped. I mean, it was like the buckets were
That's
just like
Alabama for you.
Wait 10 minutes, it'll change. But yeah, I mean, anyway, nonetheless, still a beautiful green spring afternoon, Tuesday, and Boomer's on the board. Hey, buddy.
Hey, hey.
Have you eaten your maple bacon donut yet?
I have not eaten it yet.
The lovely Charlene brought us maple bacon donuts.
It's going to be eaten. Eaten.
You're delaying self-gratification. I'm going to tell you right now, my impulse control is not as good as yours. Mine's already gone. Maple bacon donuts and coffee, the official food of Right Side Radio. Hey, we got a great show laid on for you. So at 3:15 p.m., our buddy Dale Jackson is going to call in. We got to talk about what's happening up in Huntsville with Space Command. This is starting to really tick me off. I mean, this is beyond just, well, you know, we're reluctant, but we're getting there. No, now the news reports are that Space Command, they're considering moving it all together purely on political reasons, only because Alabama is a pro-life state. You heard me. Abortion makes a difference, I guess, in the readiness of your military. It's absolutely asinine. It's jackassery, and we'll wind up getting around to that sound effect later. But in the meantime, Dale Jackson calling in around 3:15. We'll talk about it with him. And then there's a whole triple dipper full of stuff, so hit it, Boom.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you have got to know as we run today's show. Number one of the triple dipper, I'm calling it True Lies. That was actually one of the better Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, True Lies. This whole Durham report has come out. It is filled up with things that were called true that we now know were lies, and we now have the actual investigative evidence to indicate they were lies. It's amazing, but what does it mean to us? I mean, it's one thing to say, well, there's corruption. We knew it was corruption. We could see it. We could smell it. We knew what it was. It's another thing altogether to be able to prove it. And what does that really mean to us? We'll talk about that. Number one, triple dipper, true lies. Number two, I just called it limited on space. Well, Space Command, what the heck, man? At what point is someone going to just finally say, you're only doing this for partisan reasons? There's no way around it. You know. In fact, when you get down to it, Colorado is technically fourth in line, and yet they're the ones causing all the fuss. So yeah, true lies and then limited on space. That's number two in the triple dipper, followed by, you know the deal. Every once in a while, you got to have it. There's a whole lot of stuff out there. And so number three on the triple dipper, adventures in woke world. And so yeah, we're gonna have a good time with that. Like, have you seen what's happening with Sports Illustrated's new cover model? I'll save that one for later. Remember, adventures in woke world, sometimes it makes you laugh, sometimes it makes you roll your eyes, sometimes it makes you want to throw your radio across the room. But either way, we'll cover down on adventures in woke world, number three on the triple dipper. All right, let me jump over here to my opening, my monologue. And I'll tell you, there's a great deal in the news right now on the topic of operating with good intelligence. I mean, whether it be investigations, litigation, or battlefield operations, me personally, I've had some experience with intelligence, both good and bad. And I sometimes found myself even questioning the intelligence of those who brought me the intelligence. Sometimes you'll find that just because someone believes their intel is actionable, that it may, in fact, not be. You may also find there's going to be times when a given source that forms the basis for some form of intel, well, it must be further developed, exploited, corroborated before it can ever be actionable. Operating with bad intel is the underlying cause for bad things to happen. And undeveloped intel, well, that's nothing but a neat idea or an unproven theory. So battlefield intelligence, investigative leads, or discoverable evidence, whatever your profession calls it, You have to develop your leads into something that can legally, morally, and ethically stand up to scrutiny. Legally, morally, and ethically, but popularity is not one of the criteria. Well, yesterday, the story broke that the Durham report had finally been published. 300 pages and a secure annex that we have not been able to see because it's secure, that can be summed up by saying that the FBI investigators chose to chase something that was popular for them, something that fit their narrative, and by doing so, they chose to bypass every major rule within the FBI for developing good intelligence. I had an experience once, one of many really, in Baghdad. In my area of operations, it was one of the most difficult and most high visibility areas in the city. And my role as an attachment to an infantry battalion put me in near daily contact with civilians in the battle space. My team and I were constantly outside the wire developing relationships with Iraqi citizens in addition to true combat operations. It was called civil military operations, meaning that I was supposed to know and be aware and interact with civilians and their issues as a means of facilitating our operations in the area. And as a result, sometimes I would stumble across some pretty good intel. On one particular day, an Iraqi man that I had gotten to know approached me, and he said very quietly, he had a, quote, friend who had come into a possession of a large amount of explosives. He said that they were mines, that he had taken them out of a warehouse to avoid having them fall into the wrong hands. Well, at face value, it sounded promising. My source was actually a trusted individual, but you'd never know, right? So I arranged to meet his friend, and in a very brief meeting with the help of my interpreter, I met this guy who was in his 40s, didn't all have the look like one of our insurgent militia members, and I told him we might be able to help him, but that it was not going to happen immediately. He needed to be vetted. Keep in mind that IEDs and VBIEDs, the explosives and car bombs, were beginning to be a major problem, and getting any explosive off the street was a great idea, but this was an intel source that needed actual development. So I next arranged for him to meet with my battalion intel officer, often known as an S2, at a small meeting room right near the gate of our FOB. He came in, he was searched, he sat down, the meeting went well, and we asked for proof. He would be rewarded, he was told, if he could corroborate his story. And the only way to get that level of confirmation was actual hard proof. So both sides had to sort of step into a position of trust but verify, right? He had to trust us that we weren't going to hose him. We had to trust him he wasn't going to blow us up. Well, a few days later, we set up a security perimeter in a big open area outside the FOB. Two squads of infantry kept everything on overwatch from about 50 yards away, while myself, the S2, and two EOD guys stood in the open area waiting. Right on time, an old Mercedes sedan pulled into the open area. And in typical Middle East fashion, the back windows had curtains and the bumper was almost dragging the ground. Now listen, a dragging bumper, by the way, had become one of the telltale signs of a car bomb, as suspensions were often weighed down by the bomb-making materials. Well, as he was slowly approaching, I made the comment to the guys I was with that this might turn out to be a really bad idea. He could have detonated right there in the middle of us, but nope. He got out, shook our hands, smiled, and while we all backed up a bit and kept him covered with our small arms, he walked to the back door and he opened it up to reveal stacks and stacks and stacks of anti-tank mines. God. Then he opened the trunk and there were more. I mean, these are the big mines, Soviet-made, each weighing close to 20 pounds with pressure plates and enough explosive material to disable the largest armored vehicles. EOD guy eased over there, looked in the car, and just whistled. Oh, yeah, he said, those are the real deal. And then we just started unloading them and removing all the pressure plates and stacking them in the middle or the back of the EOD's trailer. Well, over the course of the next several days, that guy made multiple trips back to the same spot, and when it was all said and done, he had turned in over 240 operational anti-tank mines. God, this was a really, really big deal. It was a lead, which turned into an investigation that developed the credibility of the source, that then led to another meeting that secured over 2 tons of high explosive that could have been used to kill U.S. troops and allies. But I'll tell you, I also saw the effects of bad intel sometimes, with raids on the wrong house or targets going dark before we got there. You see, it's so important to get it right. Now, truthfully, we can never let the quest for the perfect outweigh the ability to obtain the good. I get that. At some point, you do have to go with what you know. You can't afford to let actionable intel get stale because of hesitancy and indecision. That's all true. But the Durham report indicates that the FBI didn't just go with what they knew at the time. They went with what they could fabricate at the time. They relied upon so-called evidence that they knew was false in order to build out a narrative that they wanted. Rather than having a quest to get the truth, they instead had a quest to get the Trump. The American people deserve to know that the safety and well-being of the nation, the security of our very way of life, our best interests, are all being protected. We deserve to know that those entrusted with our security and the enforcement of our laws are not going to chase a narrative, a populist notion, but that they will instead seek to deter and apprehend true lawbreakers and subversives. The motto of the FBI? It's fidelity, bravery, integrity. And that motto was not upheld by those who sought to pursue their partisan aims during what became known as Operation Crossfire Hurricane. We deserve better than that. We expect better than that. We should demand better than that. Those days in Baghdad so many years ago, for me, the intelligence, it was borne out and it was to everyone's benefit. But the Durham report yesterday, not so much. It didn't even stand up for a few years. And heads need to roll. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. I'm going to tell you, man, it's garbage intel. You can't say garbage in and expect not to get garbage out. And that's exactly what was happening. They were so into the idea of get Trump that they were forgetting that their job was actually to get truth. Well, somewhere along the way, some people need to stop getting high-paid jobs at CNN where they can go and laugh it all off. They need to find out that they've got some serious jail time coming up, because they betrayed the American trust and they put us at risk by doing it. We'll talk about it more here in a minute. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Back. I have my microphone muted. I don't know what's going on. Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. It's that maple bacon donut, man. I'm all sugared up.
That's twice.
I can't get a thing done. You're going to take over. I got the big sugar crash coming here in a minute, and I'm just going to have to fall out on the floor. Oh, hey, by the way, text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. And speaking of which, yesterday was madness.
Oh, yesterday's messages. We didn't even get through all of them yesterday because the text messages flooded at the end of the show because of the question and the free t-shirts.
Almost broke the system.
But good news is
t-shirts
went out today.
We had three winners.
For the three winners.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, two of them actually were first-time texters too, weren't they?
They were. They were.
You remember who they were?
We had Roberta from Coleman, Steve from Decatur, and Scott from Huntsville.
Sweet. Yeah, Roberta from Coleman, hers was, I remember that was Operation Nacho Fast.
That's right. And Scott from Huntsville was Tequila Sunrise.
Tequila Sunrise. And then what was the
Chihuahua
last
one? Chihuahua Don.
Chihuahua Don. That's right. Operation Chihuahua Don. Yeah, that was good times. Thank you all for participating. Something like close to 170 people participated in that. That was like, it was flooding our system, but that's just too much fun, man. And yeah, Boomer says that the t-shirts are already gone out. So, well, let's find another reason to give out t-shirts sometime soon. We will have to. Just speculating. Got several texts here. One of our brand new texters, Tammy from Green Hill. Tammy from Green Hill just texted in and says, I listen every time I'm driving. Your show is so enlightening and educational. Thank you, Tammy. So I love our amazing country. I love being free. I'm afraid the evil that has taken over our country is, and the devil has made his appearance and is influencing our youth and society. So I pray for help, and I believe that God will deliver. Thank you for your truthfulness, and thank you for your love for our country. Sincerely, Tammy from Green Hill. What an awesome text that is. Man. Teresa from Town Creek just texted in, and all she says is, it's a great day to be alive. Yes, indeed, Teresa from Town Creek. Thank you so much.
Amen. I love it.
Can I get an amen? Mike from Eva just texted in and says, you mentioned Jack Assery immediately after you talked about Dale Jackson. Is that a Freudian slip? Come on, bro. You don't go down that road. But you know what? I did say the word Jack Assery. You didn't play the sound effect. So
I did not.
I'm pretty sure that's got to happen
too
now.
Too many buttons.
Yeah.
There we go.
There it is. John from Brownsboro said what I just said a moment ago. He said there's a term for that intel I was talking about. Garbage in, garbage out. Absolutely. John from Huntsville, one of our daily regular texters, says, I got to know the truth. Were all my answers so bad yesterday because you didn't read out of one of them? I'm like, no, I think we did.
Well, let me tell you this, John. If he did probably text a lot because I just saw them all. But every time you text, it goes to the top of our thread and we're reading from the bottom.
That's true.
So.
Oh, I was seeing that because he texted in like five or six times.
Yes.
And it bumps
so
it out of the
order. So that's probably
why
we didn't get to it, because it kept going to the top and we were trying to work our way up.
Yeah, John.
Yeah, John.
What do you think of that?
I'm going to get a C- just from telling him that, probably.
Richard from Madison. He loves that line that I threw in my monologue there. He says, get the truth, get the Trump. That's a great line. He said, will the weaponized DOJ do anything about it? Probably not. In fact, what's interesting, and we'll talk about it in more detail here in a few minutes on the Triple Dipper, is that while Durham's report was scathing, that he did not recommend any additional punitive action to be taken in any way. But he did say, just follow your own procedures from now on, because all the people, I will say this, all of the people who were involved are now gone. So that's the point. They're all gone. The FBI could go after them, I guess, after the fact, and I think they should. I think Peter Strzok needs to get, needs to get whacked. And I say that in the, not like whacked like an assassin, but whacked like, whacked legally. Tyler from Huntsville texted in and says, I'm sorry, that was about something else he was asking a question on, so I won't go into that. Paul says, Phil, now there's proof the FBI pursued a political agenda. Why have the FISA court judges not demanded justice? Well, stand by, man, because, I don't know for a fact that a court can take unilateral action. It's going to wind up having to be something brought to a court. I don't think a FISA court can just take action against someone. But I'll tell you what they'll do, though. I bet you the FISA court judges from here on are going to look at things with a whole lot more scrutiny. I think part of what happened was in the wake of the Patriot Act being filed and the FISA court being used for, so-called, national security issues, I think the FISA court got too comfortable. And I think, if anything, this has been a wake-up call. They can't just go, oh, you're the FBI? It must be true. And so to answer your question, Paul, I don't believe we're going to see the FISA court take any unilateral action, but I do believe what we're going to wind up seeing is the FISA court's going to scrutinize things a whole lot more. We've got a number of things. Where's with checks and balances? This is Dan from Madison saying, I'd like to hear Phil's opinion on the checks and balances in our government. I'm hearing proof of corruption everywhere, but will anyone ever get punished? Dan, stand by. Triple Dipper's coming up on that very topic, and we'll cover down. Do I think there's going to be a lot of punishment meted out? I don't. But what I do think is going to happen is you're going to see policies and procedures changed and things put back in place that should have been there in the first place. But I do believe there's a couple of people that could face some action, and I hope they do. Several more texts I didn't even get to. We got plenty of stuff on tap. First part of the Triple Dipper coming up right after this. Y'all stay tuned. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show goes way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi. Thrown in just for good measure. All right. Hey, listen, we got plenty of stuff on tap here. Number one on the Triple Dipper, True Lies. I already see a bunch of text messages I haven't got to yet. Let me just check them real quick. JT from Lacey Springs wants us to pick three more shirt winners. Hang on, JC. We gotta have a moment here. Gotta collect ourselves. Boomer's still recovering.
I'm still recovering.
It was text madness around here.
Too much. Yeah, it's okay. Too much for me.
Too much fun. More fun than any one studio of folks should have. Zach from Muscle Shoals. He's got a name for it. The border ops was De Conquista. Okay. Brian from Decatur. Says, anybody thought to raise the question that if there's so much definitive proof that the FBI is crooked, that a multitude of cases and people put in prison, even under rightful terms, is now all in question and can be brought back to court? All those cases that now have justifiable reason to be brought back for appeal. And the answer to that, Brian, is no, I don't think so. And I say that because, if you remember, the investigation for Operation Crossfire Hurricane on the Trump situation, it never resulted in true criminal prosecution. All right, so those cases... Those were cases that you're talking about that have all had a chance to be heard. More often than not, I'm sure they were tried by a jury of their peers, or at the very least, they pled after the evidence was presented, and they were done so in a court of law. And even in a plea, you're accepting the plea, and then when you're prosecuted, you've been tried, and your due process rights have been fulfilled. So if they can prove something, but I don't think you're going to find this is not. And by the way, I'm just going to go ahead and say right now, before I jump into all this stuff on number one of the Triple Dipper here, I'm calling it True Lies. And I'm going to try and sort of paint the picture of all the things that were in the Durham report and why it matters to us. The bottom line is this: the rank and file FBI men and women, they are still patriots. I really believe that the rank, just like the military, I really believe the military is made up of patriots. I believe the FBI is as well. And so I say all this stuff knowing full well that what I'm talking about is pretty much the suits at the top, all right? It's like I said about the Afghanistan pullout. It was not the boots on the ground that lost. It was the suits in D.C. that lost it. That's what happened. The same is true with the men and women of the FBI. The rank and file, good folks. And we need them. And we need them to be good folks. We need them to have real leadership. And we need to get some of the jackassery out of there. And move it forward back to what it could be, should be, will be. Kyle from Madison texted in, said FISA court judges are in D.C. Will they scrutinize any more or less than January 6th D.C. judges? I'm not sure what you're referring to there, but the FISA court sits separately from regular federal district courts. FISA court sits with oversight that most courts don't have, and the FISA court is the one that issues the warrants and the opportunities for wiretaps and things like that relate to stuff under the Patriot Act. So a little different, but still nonetheless, they don't have the ability to, I don't believe they have the ability to bring unilateral action any more than any other court would. They can only prosecute what comes before them. Frank from Huntsville points out that we've got a story that I haven't even gotten into and I won't today. The entire IRS investigative team investigating Hunter Biden's laptop situation, a tax evasion investigation, has been removed from the investigation. Go figure. Yeah, we'll figure that out later. Mike from Rainbow City says he's down with three more T-shirts, Boomer. He wants it.
Mike.
Mike from Rainbow City. All right, hey, listen, let me jump in here. So first piece I've got, let me paint the big picture for you. So this Durham report came out. What the heck is this? Well, you may remember the 2016 election, you've got the Russia collusion Steele dossier. And what this was a salacious document that was used as the underpinnings for an investigation that became named Operation Crossfire Hurricane. And it was designed to investigate allegations that Donald Trump was colluding with the Russian government to help him win the election by, misinformation and by getting out there with all kinds of things about Hillary Clinton that weren't true, trying to subvert the authenticity of the 2016 election, which is rich considering what happened in the 2020 election. Good Lord. And then it's also rich when you consider that the misinformation that we dealt with in Operation Crossfire Hurricane originated with the Clinton campaign. They're the ones who paid for it. Let me jump into my stuff here. All that to say, there were certain high-level folks at the FBI who apparently hated Donald Trump. You've heard some of their names ad nauseum, people like Peter Strzok and others. Well, Here's the deal. Durham was appointed when Trump became president. He had basically survived the attempts to derail his candidacy. He had then entered into his presidency, and he had the next several years consumed with the Mueller investigation and the constant allegations by people like Adam Schiff and, you know, Eric Swalwell. Eric Swalwell, I still say he had gotten beat up a lot as a kid. But I look at some of the folks that were involved here, and they were going at it with an agenda as opposed to going at it with the intent to just discover truth. I understand if someone brings them something and says, you know what, we got an issue here, man. We think that Trump might be colluding with the Russians. They're wrong if they don't look at that. But where they went wrong was because they wanted it so bad. They wanted it so bad they could hardly stand it. Text messages show that they were talking amongst themselves. And is he going to be president? No, we're going to see to it. Really? That's your goal? That's your role in life? So here's a piece that came off of justthenews.com. One of several I've got here. But I tried to, first of all, find some things that would give us clear and in almost like evidentiary style evidence of what was in this report. So John Durham is appointed by a special counsel by the Trump administration, AG Bill Barr. Barr appoints him because he knows he can't do it himself. And despite, you know, Trump's efforts to have Jeff Sessions handle things that he shouldn't have handled, you've got a situation now where Barr says, we got to have somebody outside, somebody who's going to take this and not be subjected to prejudice. Well, if Durham was going to be subjected to prejudice, don't you think he would have been subjected to it over the last couple of years, too, with the Biden administration being in? But no, Durham did his thing. 300-page report. Here's some of the key takeaways. Number one, the report finds, after 4 years of review and serious investigation, that the government, FBI, had no evidence. Some of the quotes are, they did not possess any actual evidence of collusion in their holdings at the commencement of Crossfire Hurricane. In other words, they predicated their investigation on thin air. They put resources of the FBI into high gear with nothing credible to substantiate that. Durham also wrote in his report that had the FBI followed its own procedures, that they would have learned that their own Russian analysts didn't see anything that indicated this. They didn't even bother checking with the CIA, the NSA, or the Department of State to make sure that they had anything, because none of them did. They operated unilaterally and without evidence to kick off a major investigation into someone who is president of the United States of America. Durham also then came back with no new charges. He's not recommending any additional people face charges, and like I said, most of the ones who were involved are all gone. Here's the other thing that really gets me. Some of our foreign allies, apparently the FBI tried to get some of our foreign allies in on the investigation, to include the United Kingdom. So the British intelligence, they were not willing to get involved with this. In fact, some of the quotes in here are pretty awesome. So here's one quote. United Kingdom's, in one of their major offices of their intelligence service, said that after watching the video of, I think it was Carter Page, when they were trying to bait him into saying some things, right? After watching the video, said, for blank's sake, man, you went through a lot of trouble getting him to say nothing. At a later point in time, it says after the Mueller special counsel team was in place, United Kingdom intelligence said the Brits had finally had enough. And in response to a request for assistance, they said there was no blanking way they were going to do it. So they could see it. They knew what was happening. You've got stuff like key foreign affairs officials saw no evidence whatsoever. One of those is a lady by the name of Victoria Nuland. She was an undersecretary for political affairs at the Department of State. She was one of the most experienced Russian observers in the agency. She told Durham's team she never saw any evidence that there was anything related to the Crossfire Hurricane being something that they should be investigating. She said the only evidence she was ever presented was the actual Steele dossier, which was discredited later because it was paid for by Hillary Clinton and it had no basis in truth. Now, let's talk about that basis in truth. Something else you may or may not recall is the underlying allegations that were very salacious, and I'm not going to talk about them, but they were basically just trying to undermine the character of the president, say he was basically co-opted by Russian intelligence because they found him in compromising positions doing things he never should have done. Well, it didn't happen. But the guy who was basically the substance of those allegations was a Russian intelligence source who the FBI paid $220,000 for giving them unsubstantiated and unprovable allegations. I'm telling you, by the way, keep in mind, that's $220,000 of your tax dollars. Basically, we can just make crap up and the government will pay us money. That's what I'm hearing. I think I've got photographic evidence of Kamala Harris, you know, figure it out. The bottom line is, you make crap up and you get paid $220,000 by the government for helping them to start an investigation about nothing. Well, that's where we are. All right, we'll come right back from this break, though, and I got to tell you. So the report came out yesterday. Well, the FBI has already responded. They responded. They issued a statement. You might be curious. Pray tell, what would the FBI say about a 300-page report that says that they basically did everything wrong, got it all wrong, and hosed the nation in the process? I'll tell you when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. So I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper, True Lies, talking about some of the details. You got to wade through multiple stories to find all the different nuances about the Durham report. Now, it had an executive summary up front. It's also got a classified annex at the back, and I don't know what's all in that, but I imagine it's more operational and dealt with sourcing. But some of the stuff that's in there, you got to kind of pull through and cull through. And then there's the responses. So how about this? So the FBI came out with their response to Durham's report same day. And I imagine they were given an advance copy. They probably just as a courtesy, hey, we're about to talk really bad about you. Here's what we're going to say. I don't know how much advance they got, but they got enough to be able to prepare a statement. And to their credit, they did not try to say it didn't happen that way. To their credit, the FBI said, yep, basically. Here's the deal. So a story, I pulled this one off of Fox News, dated yesterday. The FBI responded Monday to the scathing report by Special Counsel John Durham that found the Department of Justice and FBI had, quote, failed to uphold their mission of strict fidelity to the law when it launched the Trump-Russia investigation. Here's the quote from the FBI. The conduct in 2016 and 2017 that Special Counsel Durham examined was the reason that current FBI leadership already implemented dozens of corrected actions, which have now been in place for some time. Had those reforms been in place in 2016, the missteps identified in the report could have been prevented. Okay, a couple things. One is that didn't say no, all right? It didn't say no. It basically admitted, yeah, that stuff happened, but... And then they also, what I don't appreciate is the missteps. They weren't missteps. They were abuses of authority. They were abuses of authority, and they were, in my opinion, committing fraud upon the court, and they were perpetrating a fraud upon the United States. This investigation, in all of its leaks, and all of its, you know, hoopla in the lamestream media and all of the, you know, how many times do we have to see Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell go up there and swear they had seen the evidence that told them there was truly something there? And there was nothing there. I'd like to know what it is they saw. Hey, Adam Schiff, could you just please show up today? And by the way, bring with you whatever it was you said you saw. Because you know what? Durham says he didn't see it, and he had a 4-year investigation. But what you do hear in here is, if you read between the lines, those people are gone. We changed the way we do things. And if we had been doing it the right way back in 2016, that stuff wouldn't have happened. Well, there's that, which, by the way, is not an apology, but at least it's an admission. I was talking about a minute ago, too, about how much money the FBI spent on this fake dossier, which had already been procured using money from the Clinton campaign. I mean, my God, what do we have to show something may perhaps be tainted evidence, fruits of the poisonous tree, if you will? The FBI offered to pay Christopher Steele, story on the Daily Wire, offered to pay Christopher Steele, the author of the infamous anti-Trump dossier, up to $1 million for evidence linking Donald. In other words, they said, look, dude, good write-up, but if you can get us some more, we'll go with it. I mean, if you can find the videos to go with those salacious, you know, accusations, man, we got $1 million for you, buddy. Get out there and find it. Good Lord. The Bureau also paid subsource Igor Danchenko $220,000 so he could make crap up. By the way, Igor Danchenko was a former... He had been formally investigated by the FBI in a counterintelligence investigation just a few years prior. They thought he had left the country. They were investigating him because one of his co-workers at the Brookings Institution said that when he was about to get a job at the Obama administration, said that this guy Danchenko offered him money for classified information. What? Here's the other piece that I had not heard until I read this one article. This comes from the Daily Wire. The FBI has what's known as the Validation Management Unit. It's an organization designed to vet the sources. Their sole job is to do the complete background checks to find out who the source is giving them the information, whether they should be concerned about it, whether they have a clean record, do they have ties to foreign governments. And they warned against using Danchenko as a source. Durham's report says that a VMU analyst was, quote, strongly of the opinion that Danchenko was connected to Russian intelligence. In other words, they're claiming that Trump is tied to the Russians while they're using a fake report written by the Steele guy, Christopher Steele, who sourced it through an actual Russian intel operative. So it's just the opposite. It's paid for with political money, sourced out to the FBI, who desperately want more evidence and are willing to pay for it. And then, oh, by the way, it's a Russian operative who's given him the fake intel. And it goes on to say that they even got with Danchenko and they offered him $220,000, which he took for the information that they could not corroborate. Folks, it just doesn't get any worse than this. And they did it all for partisan reasons. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back from this, we'll wrap this section up. But we got to start talking about why this matters and where we go from here. So in the last few minutes of this dipper, what I want to do is give you a few more details and then begin to cover down on what do we think about this? What are we to do? Where do we go from here? And I'll tell you, some of that's open-ended. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Hello. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative, just plain right. Hour number two already. My word. Boomer, I'm just thinking your little man's baseball game is going to be called on this one.
It's probably going to be called.
Just looking out the window, I'm saying.
Seeing some cows and chickens flying by.
I mean, just, yeah. Cow.
That cow.
All right, well, we'll see. Y'all be careful because there is definitely a red cell right now passing through the listening area. It's right down, it's extended line running from southwest to northeast of the state. And it looks like it stretches from the map that I saw a moment ago across most of the probably Jefferson County / Shelby County / St. Clair County area. So just be weather mindful and keep an eye out. And if you don't have to drive right now, I wouldn't in some of those areas. Or at least check your weather app before you go out. Man, the text lines, my word. All right, so we got a brand new texter in the string, John B. from ARAB. John B. from ARAB says the next president's going to be Governor Gavin Newsom. Stop it, John B. Stop it right now. You just stop that silliness. With the Durham report released, VP Harris will be offered $1 million to resign so the FBI can nominate Newsom. Why would the FBI nominate? Anyway, Okay, John B., you're scaring me, brother. So it says the USA then becomes a banana republic. Pray this doesn't happen, but this is what happens when a country turns from God. Wow, John B., bro. Come back to us. I'm just saying, we're not going down that road. No. But hey, by the way, I think he's retired Army, so thanks for your service too, John B. Thank you very much. David from Huntsville just texted in and said, did the January 6th protesters misstep? I don't know what you mean by that, David. I think what he's saying is, did we, you know, not allow proper investigation or something, whereas they got so much of this investigation wrong on Trump? I don't know. David, I'm not sure what you're asking me, but anyway, text it in if you want to. Alan from ARAB. Hey, Phil, he said, I'm convinced the Democrats coming up with these lawsuits to keep their lawyer buddies employed using government money to pay them. Well, they're sure getting their sources paid, Alan. That's for darn sure. I mean, $220,000 for Igor Danchenko, who was a known issue, who the validation, or the, whatever they go, the VMU, the unit that validates and vets their sources, said, don't use this guy. And they used him anyway. Jeff from Hazel Green says, I would like to second the comment the lady said about your show. Oh, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I know the one you're talking about. Thank you, man. Appreciate it, Jeff from Hazel Green. Rayson is in the audience from Hawaii. He says, thank you for the Right Side Ruffian. What does he say? Right Side Ruffian.
Well, he has his shirt on. Okay. He sent a picture.
Oh, it's a picture? Oh, no kidding. He's got his shirt on. He does. Oh, he's got his T-shirt. Okay. It came out funny in the text. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Rayson. Appreciate you listening all the way out there in Hawaii. Brian from Huntsville goes, Swalwell? What about Fing Fing? I'm saying, Fing Fing. I mean, that was, wow. Missy from Faulkville, if the FBI has changed, then why the raid on Mar-a-Lago? The attack on parents at city council meetings, the laptop from hell, and on and on. And I will say this, the raid on Mar-a-Lago and the, you know, the pursuit of parents, all that came from top officials, some of whom are no longer there. But you're right. You're right. They're still crap. And that, by the way, that was the DOJ, if I'm not mistaken. That was not the FBI per se. That was the Department of Justice issuing directives. And chain of command, sometimes they have to do what they have to do. But I still believe, though, that some of the issues have been removed from the FBI. Of course, time's going to tell. So what do we do with this? We got a piece right here. Jonathan Turley, who I respect his commentary so much. He writes, and he also is a commentator on Fox and some others. But he wrote a really solid piece, which his pieces are always solid. And he says, the Justice Department, as well as the media, covered it, effectively shut down a duly elected presidency based on what turned out to be a politically engineered hoax. So why does this matter to us? Why it matters is, I said it in my monologue, we have a right to expect that those who are there to enforce the laws and make our nation a better place. Because remember, we're a nation of laws. It's supposed to be. We're a nation of laws. And what that basically means is that we have order and we have the opportunity for safety and security. And we know that if you live here, you can live right and excel and prosper and have all the things that a free country can have. It's when you get into the third-rate, don't-follow-the-rule-of-law countries where the despots and the tyrants get their way all the time. That's when you have a tyrannical society. That's where freedom breaks down. Being a nation of laws means something. The very idea, I mean, Trump's due process was basically voided here. And they went after him with such a passion. Why does it matter? Because not only did they go after a man, they technically went after a nation. Because what they were trying to do was emasculate what is known as the National Command Authority. The National Command Authority. They were trying to literally emasculate the leadership of the United States. And folks, that can't happen. What's going to happen next? Why does it matter? Well, why it matters is we found out. What's going to happen now, I hope, is we're going to wind up seeing actual policies and procedures. I hope we're going to wind up seeing more accountability by Congress over the FBI now that the Republicans are sort of holding the reins on the ability to send out subpoenas. I hope that what we're going to see is next year an election cycle that brings about swift change, like overnight, like get in there and start fixing stuff, like get in there and fire some people. They've got to root out the deep state. Got to. Some of those folks that have sort of a tenured bureaucracy right now, they think they can do what they want to do. We got to start rooting them out. And that is all there is to it. Because, by the way, don't think there's not a deep state in your state government, because there is. But a state, I mean, but a federal government deep state that operates with impunity and thinks it can do what it wants to do and have sway over our elections. So the sanctity of an election, it's a sacrosanct thing. It is something that we value as a free nation. The rule of law, we value as a free nation. The right to due process, we value. And oh, by the way, those people that we entrust with the job of maintaining those things, we have to know that we don't have to look over their shoulder every single moment. We have to know that we can trust them. And we've got to get back to that place. All right, listen, that's where I'm going to call that one. I could keep on going. I mean, I got articles here from the Daily Wire, the Washington Examiner, the Daily Signal. I didn't even get to. But I think I've made the point. And I hope you gathered some things out of this you didn't know before. I did. But nonetheless, we're going to take a break right now. I'm going to come right back. Dale Jackson calling in. We're going to be talking about what's happening. Number two in the Triple Dipper, limited on space. Well, I'm talking about Space Command. The Biden administration is seriously talking about not putting it here because we have pro-life laws. Wow. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. So in case you didn't hear yet, there's another story out now that that the Biden administration is considering not putting Space Command in Huntsville. Well, this has been going on now for 2 years. It's obvious that it's political. And what's so interesting is the state that's clamoring the most, saying it should be staying here, it should be with us, is Colorado, which ranked fourth on the list. Nonetheless, last night, one of the members of the staff at Senator Tuberville's office texted me a breaking story on NBC, and so I've got a copy of it here. And before I go into it, we're going to be talking just a moment with Dale Jackson. I will say this, Governor Kay Ivey has issued a statement just in the last few minutes. I guess she issued it last night. Where is it? Nope, in the last few hours. Alabama's the only choice for Space Command headquarters. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. The contest wasn't even close. The Pentagon knows it. The White House knows it. I'll keep saying it, and Alabama will keep proving it until headquarters is officially in Huntsville. That's Governor Kay Ivey. Well, listen, somebody else who's been tracking this story Our own Dale Jackson from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN up yonder in Huntsville, and also writing for Yellowhammer News. He's on the line right now. I thought I'd just get his thoughts. Dale Jackson, how you doing, buddy?
I could not be better.
Well, I'm glad. If you're happy, we're all happy.
I'm not happy about what they're doing here with this space, man. I'll tell you that much.
No,
what they've decided to do here is completely political. They've taken a move that had a clear set of criteria, and now they're saying that criteria doesn't matter. These guys voted for Joe Biden. Oh, yeah, what they did was political before. That's basically their entire argument. It's incredibly weak and disingenuous, but they're going to get away with it. They're going to get away with it, I think.
Yeah, you know, I'm still waiting to see what the official word's going to be because they are dragging their feet. But the indications are right now, too, they're doing it not just because Colorado voted for Biden, but because Alabama didn't and because Alabama's a pro-life state. And there's some indication that they're doing this as a swipe at Senator Tuberville because he's been holding up the all the flag officer confirmations because of the DOD's abortion policy. What do you hear about that?
Yeah, I said that a while ago that I thought that they would end up blaming Tuberville for this, and they've been holding up all these things, which is just blatantly untrue. You can't say, this guy's hurting military readiness, so we're going to keep this place, this headquarters in a place where it is not going to be as effective. I mean, the whole thing is incredible. You always heard egghead, you know, PhD types, not real doctors, but the PhD of education types, say things like, well, you really got to understand, they could do this job from anywhere. Well, if that's the case, well, they just do it all from Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Because they can't. There's a lot of manufacturing and other stuff that goes into all of this. And they've got to be clear here. We were the best place, period. And they all know it. And all because they believe, which, by the way, why is our recruiting way down? Because they think so little of military members, they think they're going to say, wait a second, my kid can't get an abortion in Huntsville, Alabama?
Yeah.
I don't want to go there. Who thinks that way? Not a single parent thinks that way unless they're a blue-haired idiot. And they probably didn't raise kids that would go into the military or talk to them after the fact.
No, it's you're absolutely right. And by the way, newsflash for all of you PhD holders out there, Dale Jackson does not think you're a real doctor. But that's okay. But I mean, so this is the maddening piece, and I guess Dale, I mean, I look at this thing too, and I think, okay, from a states' rights perspective, let's say the abortion law really is factoring in, which I believe it is. I mean, the Supreme Court has now ruled it is a state's right to pass its own laws as to abortion. We do that, and then we get punished by the executive branch for doing what the legislative, I mean, the judicial branch says we can do. I mean, does anybody see that argument out there?
If I was Ron DeSantis or Donald Trump right now, I'd say, okay, but if you do this, when I become president, we're taking one. We're going to take one from New York. We're going to take one from California, and we're going to move it to a red state. If you want to play this game, game on. You saw what you did to your judges, right? You look at the judiciary right now and how red it is. If you want to play this game, go right ahead and do so, but we're going to play it as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure that if you look at it, you know, the California is where the Naval Special Warfare Center is, where they train Navy SEALs. The water is always freezing off the coast of Coronado. So why don't we just move it down to Dauphin Island here in Alabama, and we can do it here, because then they wouldn't freeze.
Because there's alligators down there.
Well, there are alligators. We saw that most. There's alligators in Huntsville, man. That's crazy.
I'm scared of them. You don't talk to them about them.
Well, I did notice that they were being reported as 6 feet long until you said something about them being 8 feet long. So I was pretty sure that was fear kicking in.
It was. I'm afraid of those things, man. They're prehistoric killing machines.
Well, all right. So what's your prediction? Are we going to see a statement from the White House? Because right now the White House has neither confirmed nor denied this thing is happening right now. So what's your prediction on this?
It's my understanding that all this stuff we saw in the media a couple weeks ago, David and Mason, all these other people writing these columns about how this command to stay in Colorado and all that, that's just priming the pump. They're just trying to motivate the Biden administration to finally pull the trigger and screw over Huntsville. Right? So I think it's coming. And they're going to try to blame Tuberville, and the smart eggheads inside this state will blame Tuberville for it when it has nothing to do with it. It also has nothing to do, I don't think, with the abortion thing. I think it has only, the only thing it has to do with it is Colorado voted for Biden, and he needs them again. So why not take from Alabama, which isn't going to vote for Biden?
All right. Well, I like your plan. I mean, I think you're right. I think we're going to hear something probably in the next 2 weeks once they get through with all the debt ceiling fight, because he's trying to get votes. But he's not going to get them from the Alabama delegation. But then at the same time, I think we're going to see something about 2 weeks from now, and we're going to figure it out then. And I like your plan. Once we switch out the presidency, which I believe we will, it's going to be time to go ahead and say, okay, guess what? California, you lose a military basing. We're going to move that command over to Alabama.
Yeah, and, you know, kudos to Terry Sewell for standing up and saying, look, I'm a Democrat, but, you know, this doesn't make any sense. Now, she was motivated to do that by where she lives. I get that. There's another Democrat in the country that's going to do it. But at least she did that, the bare minimum. So congratulations to her.
Well, I hadn't seen that, but I'm glad to see she finally joined the rest of the delegation on something. All right, man. Well, appreciate Dale Jackson. Thanks for chiming in real quick. We're going to keep talking about it for a little bit, but you have a great day, brother.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. See you. Yeah, so the bottom line is this. The search has been conducted. The studies have been concluded. The effort has been made over and over and over and over again to review that and try to find a way around it, and they can't. And if they come out, if they come out and say a state that passes its own laws and we don't like them is going to get punished. If they do that, there will be nothing left but to go ahead and file suit and try to enjoin this on the basis of purely partisan politics. And, oh, by the way, that it be violative of the rights of a state to enact its laws under the 10th Amendment as clearly directed by the Supreme Court in the Dobbs decision. So if abortion's at the heart of it, if we find a whistleblower somewhere and that whistleblower says, here's the email, they said if they're going to be an abortion-free state, then we're not sending Space Command there, bam. Well, we got to find it. But I'm betting somebody out there has an email. Somebody out there has got a memo. Somebody out there has got a something. And we need to bring it to light. Because this is just absolutely asinine. In fact, Boomer, I am pretty sure this qualifies for jackassery of the nth degree. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, we got a break coming up. When we do, we're going to come back from that, and we're going to keep talking about this, because I've got right now what the statement's being put out. I told you Governor Ivey's statement a moment ago. Good statement. I'm glad she did it. Too often she's silent, but in this case she wasn't. And we also got comments here from Congressman Strong and Senators Britt and Tuberville. And yeah, I'm just telling you, no one's taking this line down. We'll see where it goes. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That'd be Alabama. And I don't say that lightly. And I talk about this show sends its signal way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, you're coming out of the break right now. You kept your radios on during the break, and I hope you did. You heard advertisements. And so, listen, hear this from me. The Right Side Radio is an independent business, all right? We are a separately owned business. We're actually a 501c3, but we sell ads as part of our revenue generation. So if you hear our show and you like what you hear and you're thinking, man, that just aligns with my business and I want to advertise on a show like that, you got to call us, all right? If you call the stations, you just got to refer you to us. So the best way to do this, if you'd like to advertise with Right Side Radio, I mean, we have an audience that we're told is over 30,000 people a week that are listening to this show, the top-ranked show in North Alabama. You go to our website, rightsideradio.org, rightsideradio.org. There's an advertising tab on there. Click it, and it has a way where you can send us a message. We got one in yesterday. We're following up right now. And I'll just tell you, our sales folks will be right with you. We'd love to have you on the team. So if you want to advertise on Right Side Radio, go to rightsideradio.org and click on the advertising and send us a message. We'll get you in there. All right. Hey, listen, we got lots of text messages dropping in. Brand new texter in the string I see is initial J. So it's Jay Brown. Jay Brown from Madison. Boomer hadn't had a chance to even plug him in. Jay Brown just got put in the system. He says Trump has nothing to lose, and that's the kind of mindset and a leader we need right now. He said, I love what DeSantis is doing, but he has to worry about reelection. I have to go with Trump in 24. There you go. All right, you're fine, man. He says Trump Pompeo for 2024. That would be a strong ticket, I got to say.
Scott from Ardmore. Yeah. He said he really enjoys the show. There's no substitute for the truth. But he's also turned his best friend onto the show in San Antonio.
Oh, sweet.
And he said, keep preaching.
San Antonio. I think that's where Fort Bliss is? Anyway, San Antonio, or is it Fort Sam Houston? It doesn't matter. you don't care. There's a fort there.
There's
somewhere.
A fort there. Yeah.
David from Huntsville is talking about the Dale Jackson and his alligators. He says, what professional wrestler wouldn't wrestle an alligator? I don't know. Anita, probably a lot of them. Anita from South Huntsville says, I'd be willing to bet that if it crossed the minds of Democrat leadership that they would rather have the defense of the nation's satellite infrastructure situated in a blue state just in case the red states ever fancied defending themselves from impending federal tyranny. Well, there's that. But you know what? I'm not going down that road with you, Anita, but I'm going to tell you right now, it just needs to be here. It just does. What else we got here? MJ from Athens, as an older American trying to explain politics to my 30-something only got me into trouble. As I tried to tell him, give it time, the truth always comes out. The Durham Report's an example of the truth always winning. I hope they can see it. That's a great point, man. Danny from Decatur, how about giving those FBI suits an NCIS gib slap to the back of the head?
A gib slap.
James Moe and Crossroads. Phil, these people who perpetrated this multi-year hoax that's now been revealed by the Durham Report can't be prosecuted under some statute. Then maybe new laws need to be enacted so this doesn't happen again. Well, I don't disagree with that. You can't pass a new law and prosecute past behavior that were not illegal at the time. Although I think what they did, I think they certainly perpetrated some hoaxes on the FISA court. I think that they violated some protocols. I think they were reckless at the very least. The problem is they're going to be protected by sovereign immunity for their actions as long as they were in what's considered a, you know, not unreasonable position. But some of it was absolutely unreasonable. It was reckless. Anyway, we'll see where it goes. Hey, listen, back on the Space Command thing. So article here from NBC is the one that broke the story last night, and then 1819 picked it up right away. AL.com's got their piece on it. So how do you feel about it? Space Command in Alabama. Well, Senator Tommy Tuberville, who's at the center of the controversy right now, he said very clearly, his office did, I'm sorry, they pointed out that the senator wrote the Washington Post back in March saying, quote, the military's decision to place Space Command at Redstone Arsenal is what is best for national security and for taxpayers. If Mr. Biden overrules the Air Force, it'll be Washington at its worst, a president putting politics above plain facts. Space Command belongs in the Rocket City. And that's a great point. This is the home of so much of the space program. This is the history of space flight right here. And we also, by the way, have any number of other defense contractors who will be heavily involved at the research park and other areas around the Huntsville area. You've got the support of being inside the wire at one of the best installations in the nation, Redstone Arsenal. And then on top of that, you got the history of the Missile Command and all the other space-related and rocket-related. And then there's just the history. There's just the tie-in. You got the Space and Rocket Museum, all of it. I'm just saying, and we passed every major hurdle we had to with flying colors. Number one choice. So what are our other delegation members saying? So I've got a piece here from 1819 News. Senator Katie Britt says President Biden's plans would irresponsibly yank a military decision out of the Air Force's hands in the name of partisan politics. She went on and says a few things that I've already said, but she says the president's blatant prioritization of partisan political considerations at the expense of our national security and military modernization and force readiness is a disservice and a dishonor to his oath of office as our nation's commander-in-chief. U.S. Representative Dale Strong, our freshman congressman, he's from Huntsville. He's been involved for the day one because he was on the county commission up there. He says, when the Air Force looked at what was in the best interest of national security, they chose Redstone Arsenal to house U.S. Space Command headquarters. Any deviation from that is a slight against those serving in uniform. And he goes on to say, the White House's inaction and hand-wringing have brought about the consequence of a two-year delay for the final basing of Space Command. Each passing day is another reminder the Biden administration is willing to prioritize bowing down to political pressure over what's best for the military and national defense. And then, of course, Tuberville, I already gave you his comments. And the governor, I gave you her comments a moment ago. I'm just going to tell you, I think a big part of this, and the speculation truly is, this is related to Alabama's laws on abortion, which is absolutely antithetical to common sense. It's jackassery at its height. I mean, when we're looking at, and I agree, Dale Jackson said it a minute ago, what are the odds? What are the odds that you're going to have the vast majority of Space Command members upset because they can't be stationed in a state that allows the killing of babies? I mean, what the heck? Really? That's your thing? Well, story on NBC says, the White House says Alabama's abortion ban was not a factor in its ongoing review of the decision to build SpaceCom's permanent headquarters. Hint, hint, wink, wink, NBC's got the scoop. A White House official said that access to reproductive health care does not weigh in reproductive health care. That just ticks me off. That's like gender-affirming care. No, it's disaffirming. Reproductive health care. Well, you're not reproducing. Administration officials said the push not to headquarter SpaceCom in Huntsville also has nothing to do with Alabama Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville's blocking of at least 234 of Biden's military nominations. Okay, they're gonna maintain that thread. They got to, because they know what happens if it comes out that we find that email that says, hey, abortion laws, we don't like them. Move it to Colorado. I got a caller on the line. Is that our brand new texter, Jay Brown? Jay Brown from Madison. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, sir.
Good. What's on your mind?
Yeah, just on the current topic. I'll just say I'm active military. I was very close to the leadership members in the Pentagon that helped make the decision on where to base Space Command. And so, okay, at the time, that what I can say is the leadership deferred to the White House basically told the White House to stay out of it if you can. Let the Air Force make the decision and let it play out through a process. Well, looks like that has changed.
Yeah, I would say. But even still,
so it went from basically good advice to politics, which is unfortunate.
Well, first of all, by the way, thanks for your service, and appreciate that very much. So you were in the Pentagon when they were making these decisions, and I feel certain the Trump administration made a choice. You know, it wasn't just the Air Force; it was the Trump administration helping make the choice. But the thing is, since then, it's also been sort of proven out with all the studies and the reviews and the quality of life studies, and Alabama keeps coming up number one on the list.
Right. The process is very analytical. I mean, there's a lot of numbers and scoring, and that score just so happened to come out with Alabama on the top. But again, politics injected and kind of changed what was a completely fair system to what we see today.
Well, so what's your prediction? Having been so you're still on active duty now?
I am, yes, sir.
Well, so what's your prediction?
I'm hoping that cooler heads prevail. They look at the numbers and make the decision based on what the board decided, because the Air Force has a basing board that makes these decisions, and then they submit it up the chain. And I think cooler heads will prevail. It'll end up here. Just if anyone being logical looks at the numbers, they'll say yes, Huntsville makes sense.
Well, it also makes sense because installation, Redstone Arsenal is a great installation to put it on, too. I mean, it's right. Not like you have to build out all the infrastructure. A lot of it's already there.
Definitely. Capacity, infrastructure. Definitely. And we're working on the housing part, right?
Yeah, well, there's that, too. I mean, the one of the hottest housing markets in the entire United States. Everywhere else is running slow, and Huntsville's not. But, hey, Jay Brown, thanks so much for being a part of the show. Glad you're in the text string with us, and glad you called in, man.
Yeah, thanks for what you're doing too, spreading the truth.
All right, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Have a good day. Well, that was cool. And by the way, I have no doubt that there was a lot involved in getting this decision made. But since then, a lot has already been done. And like our last caller said, there's a lot of analytics involved. This is not just an emotional decision. This is one that is backed up by numbers. It just is. I mean, it's just I'm not saying anything just because I'm biased, even though I love Huntsville and I've got a lot of my own life in Huntsville. Still got a lot of family in Huntsville. It would impact a community that I love, in this listening area that I love, and a state that I love. But the reality is this. I also can objectively sit back and look at it and go, we won, and Colorado lost. And if Colorado gets it, then that's the ultimate participation trophy, man. I'm just saying. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come back from the break. I can already see the phones are ringing. May have some more calls on the line when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. So going to the phones right now. We're on Space Command. Got a couple of callers. Line two, Jack from, is that Jack from Center Star? Is that what it says? Yeah, Jack, how you doing?
Yeah, it's Zach with a Z.
Oh, Phil. Sorry about that. All right.
The Zacker, yeah. We've already spent a lot of man hours and a lot of taxpayer funds on the studies and the procedures to get approval for the Space Command location. And if the White House decides to nix it for whatever reason, because whatever reason they give us, you know it's a lie because these are dishonorable people. So for whatever reason, if they kill a program that's already been set up, then they should be on the hook for the cost of the studies and all the preparation that was entailed in this. And the House of Representatives, I don't know, deduct that amount from their next, the Democrats' next big program. I don't know. I don't know how they would do it, but somebody's got to pay for this besides me.
Yeah, well, I totally agree. And I don't know what the price tag has been, but you know, it's not just the federal government and the DOD paying for the studies on Huntsville. Then it's also what the state has paid out for the studies and the recruiting. And then there's what the city of Huntsville and the surrounding communities have paid out trying to draw it here and, you know, and maintain the good credit that they need to be able to get it here. You're right. I mean, there's been a whole lot put into making this happen just to have a political view taken on it. But we'll see, man.
Here you go. All that money should be return to the state of Alabama to the taxpayers so that we can use it the way that we see fit.
All right, Zach, appreciate the call, man. Thanks for calling in. Line three, Thomas, Athens, how you doing?
Good afternoon, sir, Colonel. I'm trying to connect some dots on this. Number one, I think the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, has tentacles not only into this administration, but to other leaders in the government and maybe even legislature, and who knows where else, number one. Number two, with all of the analytics and assessments, with Huntsville coming out on top of the Space Command location, all these 21 requirements, and Colorado coming in third or fourth or fifth, I think the Chinese would just love to have a less effective Space Command located in Colorado than a more effective Space Command located in Huntsville to be a defense force for the Chinese Space Force, which they are developing like crazy.
So, all right. So let me ask you this, and I'm not arguing with you. I'm asking you to spitball it with me. How is it you believe that being in Colorado makes Space Command a less effective member of the fighting force?
Because of the analytics. Your guest went through that. There were at least 21 requirements. I don't know if it came out on top of all of them, but we were number one, if not maybe number two in one of the tests. Multiple assessments that the previous caller talked about. We paid a lot of money. The government paid a lot of money for these assessments and came up with the correct decision. I do not think it's about abortion. I do not think it's just about politics. I think it goes way deeper than that.
Wow. Okay. All right. Thomas, Athens, appreciate you. Thanks for calling in, man.
Yes, sir. God bless.
All right. Well, listen, I mean, if you got an opinion, you're welcome to it. Text it on in. I can see one right now. Mike from Rainbow City, he just texted in. He says, it's obvious that Biden and his Nazis, he says, will do anything to maintain and even gain more power. Well, we've seen that already with the 2020 election, haven't we? Colin from Decatur says, we also need people to stop saying things like pro-abortion to start calling them baby killers. It's time to start using their tactics against them. Yeah, you know what? Quit letting them get away with calling it reproductive health care. Jay from Fairhope says, remember President Johnson decimated Huntsville before by moving NASA from Huntsville to Houston. Punishment by Democrats is nothing new. Wow, Jay, that's an interesting point. Yeah, you know what, though? Since that time, Huntsville has become a four-star command for material command, headquarters for what is being considered one of the major FBI installations, and the defense industry is huge there. So I am hoping, brother, that what that means is it's a lot harder to argue about moving it away. I mean, there was a time when Huntsville was literally cotton fields and Redstone Arsenal. In fact, if you look at the history of Huntsville, a great piece written by a man who just passed away, who I just thought the world, Ray Jones, who was a mainstay. Jones Valley in Huntsville is named after his family. But Ray Jones wrote the history of his father being involved in trying to keep Redstone Arsenal from being sold off at a salvage auction. Isn't that amazing? The idea that in the 50s, the government was thinking about getting rid of Redstone altogether because they just didn't know about putting something here in a small Alabama town. And a bunch of key leaders got together and said, no, this is worth saving. Look, if you'll do this, if you'll build it up, we'll do these things and put it together for you. And they did. And they saved Redstone Arsenal. And now we're talking about one of the most major installations in the entire DOD inventory with all kinds of assets and the stringers and the things that it brings to a community. The second and third order effects of having Redstone Arsenal in our state. Unparalleled. That's why when you've got an installation like a Fort Rucker, a Maxwell Air Force Base, an Anniston Army Depot, I mean, I can look and tell you what happened to Anniston when they lost Fort McClellan. Huge impact. Well, we're not going to let that happen, and we're not going to sit idly by with Space Command being used as a bludgeon. All right, folks, listen, we're going to take a break. We'll come right back. It's time for some adventures in woke world. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Hour number three, numero tres. So here we are moving into hour number three. It's that time. You know, sometimes I resource the show. I get up early in the morning, I start putting my head to what we're going to do on today's show. I'm mapping it out. I'm going through the news. I find the thing. And I say, wow, look at the wokeness. Oh, the woke. How much woke can you have? All that wokeness. And I realize I have at that point a veritable buffet, if you will, of wokeness. I have a vast cornucopia, a plethora, if you will, just a montage of wokeness, which means that once again, it's time for Adventures in Woke World.
Adventures in Woke World.
All right, hour number three, Adventures in Woke World. So listen, this is one of those moments where you're going to have some of these stories that I've got on here that you're going to look at and think, ah, that can't be real. And you'll roll your eyes in disbelief. Other times you'll hear it. It'll make you mad. Sometimes it'll make you laugh. Other times you just want to throw your radio across the room. So a couple things that are out there right now. First of all, here's one, New York Post. New York Post has got a story. Make this make sense to me. The illegal immigration issue at the southern border, which we're going to cover again for the weeks out because we got to. But they're coming in droves, and they're being bussed all over the nation. Well, in New York right now, you've got a situation where homeless veterans who are being put up in hotels by a nonprofit that works with homeless vets on the street are being kicked out of their hotel to make room for illegal immigrants. Kid you not. Can you imagine? I mean, Boomer, chime in when you feel like it, bro, because I'm just going to – this is one of those just jump on in where you can and hang on. But, yeah, you've got homeless veterans, according to the New York Post and multiple other outlets, confirming that what we have now is there were two dozen of them. They were in a upstate hotel where a nonprofit group who works with them was, you know, doing counseling and other things with them and was having them stay there while they got their lives back in order. They were all kicked out to make room for illegals who needed to be housed somewhere.
Whoa. You mean our veterans, our U.S. veterans that were disabled were kicked out?
That's what I'm saying.
For our lovely illegals.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
What?
Yeah, I don't know how anybody can feel good about this.
No, who made that call?
So the guys that served in our nation's uniform, wore the flag on their sleeve, and went to hard places to do hard things. Some of whom have, you know, are dealing with issues related to it. Like they said, that one of them right here is a 24-year-old guy who served in Afghanistan, and they're all being told that they're having to leave and go find alternative living arrangements. Well, they were already homeless. They were working. They were put there by an NGO that works with them, and lo and behold,
and now they have to go find somewhere else.
I reckon so. I just, you know, it's one of those things where you look at what's happening under the Biden administration, you think this is like next level wokeness. This is backwards. This is jackassery at its height.
Well, it's complete jackassery.
Yeah. Oh, there we go.
But I mean, in my head, it just doesn't compute. It does not make sense that for someone that served our country and is part of our country, and now we're going to kick them out for someone that's not.
And it doesn't make sense to you because you have a different worldview than the current administration. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, they don't see things this way. What's
so special, though? What's so special about the illegals other than they're trying to make their – our government, that is, trying to make their policies – what I'm trying to say, out there. They're like, this is what we're doing, so this is how we're going to do it.
Well, absolutely nothing's more special. I mean, there's nothing more special. And in my opinion, one of the most, one of the groups that deserves our attention is disabled veterans.
Yes.
And because they didn't just walk into a status, they earned a status. Mm. It's like saying that somebody was awarded the Purple Heart. No, they earned the Purple Heart. And so... So in this particular case right here, I'm thinking this is absolutely wrong. I understand that we have floods of them coming across the border. Well, that's where you set up freaking refugee camps. That's where you throw tents up in an open field and you say, y'all are sleeping in tent number 32. And that's meals are served from the back of a truck at so-and-so time. You came to America. We're not doing the whole ship you off to New York City so you can kick homeless veterans out of the hotel. You get to stay over there in that refugee camp till we figure out what to do with you.
Well, and there, ergos, that's still, I mean, they should be grateful for that. That's what we should give them, and they should be grateful for that.
And they would be well-fed, well-tended, have medical care, I guarantee you.
Exactly.
And they came here illegally, so what more do they expect? Well, they expect a lot because they keep giving a lot. All right. Okay. Enough of that story. Ugh. Dang. All right. Next one. This is going to make you want to throw your radio.
Great.
You know, Matt Walsh from the Daily Wire has been on a one-man crusade against the whole transgender agenda. Well, if you remember back a few years ago, Target, and we all shop at Target, right? Everybody's been to Target. Mm-hmm. Heading down to Target, buy yourself a little stuff.
Oh, yeah. Court loves Target.
Okay, so Target, though, is one of the most liberal retail outlets in the entire nation.
Ooh, I can't wait to tell her then.
Fact, you can tell her this. A few years ago, I was the only one in the legislature willing to put up a bill that would deal with the whole notion of, back then there were transgender bathrooms. You know, there were bisexual bathrooms. And Target led the way. Target was the first entity in the United States to go, in a national sense, say, okay, all of our bathrooms are now gender friendly. You can use whichever one you want. And I was like, what the, hang on. And well, so Matt Walsh just pointed out what Target is saying is doing far worse than anything Bud Light did. Target is now selling chest binders and what they call tuck-friendly bathing suits for children.
Wait, say that again?
Binders and tuck-friendly bathing suits. What it basically is are bathing suits designed to help little kids not look like the sex they were born as.
Target's doing
on the
this?
Beach or whatever.
They're the first ones to put this out there.
They say Target's calling our bluff, but like any other company, they need our business. And we did it with Bud Light. Now it's Target's turn. That's Matt Walsh on Twitter as we speak right now. I believe the lovely Charlene just sent me that tweet, and I had to make that part of Woke World. Just, it's one of those, added in there because it's worth talking about. All right, what else we got? Let me find a funny one for the love.
Please.
All right, I had one. Where'd it go? I had one. Oh, this one. All right, this one cracks me. Ed, hit me some adventures in Woke World again.
Adventures in Woke World.
All right, so Daily Wire has a story that cracks me up. This is like epic karma right here. So, okay, a dude in Toronto, Canada, opened a coffee shop. He called it The Anarchist.
The Anarchist.
He is, by his own admission, a white, cisgender, queer man who cares about the intersection of various privileges, who recognizes that he needs to hire more people who are not white, cisgender, or heterosexual and make them equal owners in his business. And oh, by the way, his business was predicated on the idea that capitalism is just ethically bankrupt, and therefore people who came to his coffee shop could pay whatever they felt was necessary for the coffee.
No. No way.
You notice I'm speaking in past tense, right?
Yes.
He just closed down because he couldn't sustain operations.
That didn't go so well for him.
No, that didn't. Do we have a sound effect that even equates to this?
I was going to play the jackassery sound of it, but it's just even better than that.
This is like jackassery magnified. I don't know what to do. So, yeah, Daily Wire has the story. The Anarchist, a coffee shop in Toronto, Canada that functioned on a pay-what-you-can system, is going to close at the end of the month after less than a year in business.
Oh, my goodness. After less than a year. Way to go, guys.
Gabriel Sims-Fewer. So Gabriel is a hyphenated man name. Gabriel Sims-Fewer, the owner of the Anarchist, said in an expletive-filled announcement on the company's website that he appreciated the opportunity to have experimented with, quote, living and working in ways that don't enthusiastically embrace the pure misanthropy of capitalism.
Oh, my goodness.
And he blamed the failure of his anti-capitalist business venture for the lack of seed capital and ethically bankrupt sources, which left him, quote, unable to weather the quiet winter season or to grow in sustainable ways. It's called capitalism, dude.
Yeah.
You got to cover your expenses, and you want to get to the point that your revenues exceed your expense, right? That's
exactly
generally
what you
speaking.
Want. Yeah. Here you go, X, Y, this is what you
got
to do,
and then he's got all the blank the rich, blank the police, blank the state, blank the colonial death camp we call Canada. I mean, he's like, so who even want to go get coffee? I'd be afraid what the coffee would take. That's some bitter coffee is what I'm saying. I'm just saying some seriously bitter coffee. And then at the end, the end of the article actually points out, there was, in fact, another small business that was founded on explicitly leftist principles that recently failed also. It was called Minus World, a coffee shop in Philadelphia known for its LGBTQ brand identity. It closed down last year when employees revolted against the owners and demanded they redistribute the company's resources. See, I'm just telling you, man. There's no way in the world that stuff works. Okay, does anyone ever want to go drink coffee at a place where he hates everybody? He tells you, pay whatever you feel like, I don't care. And he claims he's a white, cisgender, queer man who's only going to hire non-white cisgender.
Wow.
It's unreal. Unreal. Have I got a caller on the line? Let me do that real quick. Brian Huntsville. Oh, wait, I got a break? I'll tell you what. I got 1 minute. We'll do it. Brian Huntsville, how you doing?
I just pictured that person at the Anarchist being in a purple dinosaur costume singing, I love you, you love me.
I'm pretty sure not. Oh, God.
Well, that was his theory. But in any case, serious thing about the hotels kicking people out, you know they're getting paid from somebody to do it. Otherwise, they would not do it.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's a great point. I would bet that FEMA or the Department of Homeland Security or somebody, or maybe even an NGO who got a grant from DHS, is probably paying the bill.
Yeah, after all of the money, I hope somebody does, because I want to know who did it.
I do too. I do too, man. It's unconscionable. It really just chaps me. Yeah. All right, I got to go to a break,
well,
Brian.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Appreciate you, man. Take care. All right, do the break. We'll come right back. I got more adventures in woke world, although I think that may be my favorite story of the day. I can just tell you in advance. Headline from Daily Wire, get woke, go broke. Anti-capitalist cafe that let customers pay what you can closes down after 1 year in business. Phil Williams, we'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, before I go any further, I got to tell you guys, the Elm Foundation is one of our advertisers. ELM, that stands for Expect Little Miracles. The Elm Foundation, they're a 501c3, they're based out of Huntsville, and they do amazing work at just getting involved in people's lives and helping them get off the streets, helping them restore their self-worth, helping them find the ability to become productive members of society again by, you know, getting job school skills and certifications in place, helping them build out their resume. And they don't do this like, you know, just throwing money at it like the government might do. No, they're literally walking people through it. They're giving them accountability and helping them develop, you know, milestone-based plans, goal-oriented plans. And then if they get off the plan, they say, hey, man, you got to get back on. We got to work. That's what they're doing. And they're doing it in a way that is literally making a difference. So I'm loving this. In fact, we're probably going to have them on the show here pretty soon. But the Elm Foundation, their website is ELMHSV, as in Elm Huntsville, ELMHSV.org. That's ELMHSV.org. And just check them out. Check out their website. If you ever decided, by the way, you wanted to support what they do, they are a 501c3. That's cool. And just know this, every dollar you give goes straight to programs, because they have one benefactor who decided he would underwrite everything to do with their administrative costs, so any money they raise thereafter is only for programs. Check them out, Elm Foundation at ELMHSV.org. All right, Adventures in Woke World continues. By the way, I just saw a piece up on the screen during the break. I was telling Boomer. So Dave Chappelle, the comedian, who is hilarious, by the way, who is not afraid, and by the way, don't mistake him for a true conservative, but he is not afraid to call out woke. And he called out San Francisco, apparently, in a big, he even, like, his statement was something like, what happened to this place? You know, downtown used to be beautiful, now it's a cesspool, he says. And then he made the comment, I thought this was epic, he says, San Francisco needs a Batman.
I wonder if a Batman will show up.
You know what, though? Be careful.
I know. Exactly.
Not every vigilante is a good guy. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, I thought that was pretty epic. Adventures in Woke World, story out of Osceola County, Florida. So an organization called Citizens Defending Freedom, They are a nationwide organization, I believe. And they have been going through school libraries and finding things that just have no business being in front of kids. So they recently went to the Osceola County School District and presented to them that one of the books in one of their libraries is called The Assassination Classroom. And it's a book about kids in a classroom trying to assassinate their teacher. The book has sex, violence, cruelty, other things in it. And they asked the school board in a written questionnaire, would you consider this to be appropriate? I mean, would you consider this to be inappropriate for children? And the answer was, yes, we would. But they won't take it out of the library. It continues to remain, even though it contains what they call explicit violence, profanity, and sexual activities. I just look at that and go, they've got hold of our libraries and they know it. And they, and they don't care.
No, they don't care at all, even though they know that it's wrong.
Yeah, exactly. And they could care less. Now, one we're going to get to, I got stuff here. What's happening with Brittany Griner and the national anthem at games now? What's happening with, did you know that one of AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, aides pretty much came out and let you know exactly what's going on with her politics? And then there's Sports Illustrated. Oh, Lord.
What's with Sports Illustrated?
Well, the swimsuit edition came out.
Oh, please don't.
Just saying.
Oh, no.
I'll give you two words. Fake boobs. Just saying.
Really?
Sports Illustrated. Swimsuit edition. On the cover.
Oh, man.
On the cover.
What?
I mean, it's not like I'm sitting around waiting for that magazine to come out, but the reality is you think when they do a swimsuit edition that's always been focused on women and, you know, and you know, fashion models and others, that they're going to come out with something you're going to go, oh, that makes sense. But no, we're being preached at again by another one of those long mainstays in society that has decided to go woke.
Oh, boy.
I'll tell you all about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show sends its signal way on down south of Birmingham, way up north of Huntsville, all the way over to Tuscaloosa, way back over again to Gadsden. I'm talking about even parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, boom shakalaka, have you seen the all right, you know all about the Dylan Mulvaney beer can, right? That was Bud Light, right?
Oh, yeah, no, we know about that.
Okay. All right. Have you heard about Miller Light now?
No.
Okay.
I thought Miller Light was getting drank because of the Bud Light.
Well, you'd think they would look at it and go, oh, dude, we have an opportunity here.
Yeah.
let's go ahead and man up, fellas, because you're with Miller Light now.
I was about to say, they should have put out like the most manly advertising thing ever right there.
Right now, Coors Light has got it going on because Miller Light has now gone so, they got all in the woke category. So
what?
Here's what happened. Miller Light came out with a new ad. And it's designed to fight back against sexism in the beer-making industry. And the whole thing is about how, well, for too long. And it has a woman who's narrating it, and she's talking about how women invented beer, too, back in the day. And don't you know? And what did we do with that news? Well, we put them in bikinis. And they you know, make fun of all the old posters with, you know, the Miller Lite girls and stuff like that. Yeah, anyway. And I get it. I mean, if you want to say we're not doing that kind of ad anymore, that's fine. But it's gotten it. I mean, we're being preached at by beer cans.
We are.
That's what's happening.
Beer can preaching.
We got some beer can evangelism going on right now. Is what's happening. So what we find out though, Daily Caller has a piece here in Adventures in Woke World. Sophia Colucci, the chief marketing officer for Coors, which owns Miller Lite, has a past of supporting liberal causes like gun control, protest in the George Floyd incident, illegal immigration, COVID-19 vaccines, and social media posts, all reviewed by the Daily Caller. So what they're basically saying is, what would you expect when you put the person in charge of your marketing who is so woke that she does not identify with the vast majority of your base? Well, what you get is another one of those ads where you look at it and go, okay, what do we drink now? If you're a beer drinker, so far you got the Dylan Mulvaney beer can and you got the Women's Club only Miller Lite.
So, but the new one that came out, they can go and get.
Oh, yeah. What's that called?
Was it the right?
Ultra right beer.
Ultra right. And it's blowing up.
Yeah. It was like expected to have $1 million in sale the first week.
I'm not
going
to lie. I reached out just to see if we could get the guy on the show.
Well, why didn't you tell me this?
Well, he hasn't responded yet. So.
Okay. Keep trying.
But I'm going to try because I would love to get him on the show.
Keep trying. We need to make that happen. All right. And now listen, as long as we're talking about, important things like, your beer cans and, the women's poster is now being off limits. Well, then I guess that means the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition is going away, right? Wouldn't that make sense?
Right. It's gone. No more.
If we can't...
That's what we would think.
If we can't expect there to be any reasonable expectation of a feminine poster for a beer can, then that means the Sports Illustrated needs to get on board and stop. No, they're not. They're going forward with their swimsuit edition, Boomer.
Forward. There's a forward, not a backwards.
It depends on how you look at it.
Okay.
So they just came out with the new swimsuit edition. Sports Illustrated did. Story here on the Washington Times. I could have picked it up in a variety of places. I just chose the Washington Times. You'll be happy to know, Boomer, that the transgender agenda is being fairly represented on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Wow. Yes, this will be German pop star Kim Petras, born a dude, had surgery at the age of 16. I know, I went cringe too. I know, both of us did the whole cringe move. But German pop star Kim Petras, who had gender transition surgery at the age of 16, was one of four celebrities selected to appear on the covers of the 2023 swimsuit edition. However, this is also not the first transgender model to make the cover. I did not realize that apparently in 20, because I don't keep up with this magazine.
Anymore. Right, yeah.
But Lena Bloom is the name of the last transgender model in 2021. And by the way, interesting piece, the only other cover models, because it's a rotating cover, there's four different versions of Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition apparently coming out, according to the article here. One of them, transgender dude, now chick, who went ahead and had his eunuch surgery done. So he's, anyway. The other three are actress Megan Fox, supermodel Brooks Nader, and 81-year-old Martha Stewart.
What? What?
And I guess the question is why?
Yeah, why?
Why is it necessary for... This is like somebody going, how can we just... mess with their minds.
Right. Are they just messing with us? Is this just all a joke? Because it is just ridiculous.
I'm just saying. I mean, we're getting preached at by beer cans.
Right.
And now we're getting preached at by Sports Illustrated.
Man.
Just do sports.
Exactly.
Can you please?
Sports Illustrated. Just talk sports, guys.
81 years old.
Come on.
Okay. All right, last couple I got here. Hit me up, Adventures in Woke World.
Adventures in Woke World.
Yeah. So in case you had any wonderings, any ponderings, any ruminations about whether or not, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she doesn't necessarily represent Alabama, thank you very much, but, she's got influence in D.C. and the social media aspects of her life. She's an influencer. And then she's also just the darling of the lamestream media. Well, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she's got some pretty socialist leanings. Well, guess what? One of her former aides, Justine Medina, has recently left the office of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to take a leadership position in the New York State Communist Party. I kid you not. Medina, 33 years old, was previously employed by AOC's campaign, received a salary. Following her tenure with the congresswoman, Medina's appointment as co-chair of the New York Communist League was announced by People's World, a publication associated with the Communist Party. During her time with the congresswoman, Medina was responsible for organizing and writing policy language with anti-war veterans and the peace movement, whatever that means. She claimed Medina's work for AOC and her rise within the Communist Party adds further weight to the claim that the New York congresswoman harbors even more extreme views than just democratic socialism, of which she says she's an adherent. Yeah, think? She's got avowed communists on her staff. So, okay. Having run a campaign before, knowing full well that there's times when you can't keep up. I mean, mine was just a state Senate campaign, four counties. It became all-consuming. It was a full-time job. The teachers' union hated me. They were against everything that I stood for, and they put all kinds of money into my opposition. And so I know what it means to have people working for you, volunteers knocking on doors, and you can't always vet everybody. But you should. You should try, or at least have somebody who will. And so what I have to assume is that this lady, Justine Medina, came to work for the congresswoman, and there was a question at some point in there about, do you support the beliefs of the congresswoman? Why, yes. Yes, I do. Let's talk about your background. Well, I'm a communist. Welcome aboard. I cannot help but think that this did not happen in a vacuum, all right? This was known, y'all. This was absolutely known. Last one I've got, and then we'll take it to a break. Last one I've got. So, Boomer, you recall Brittany Griner?
Yes.
Okay. How tall is she, by the way?
Pretty tall.
Like she's like 6'5 or something. Extremely
pretty tall.
Anyway,
yeah.
Brittany Griner spent time in a Russian jail for taking cannabis-based products with her overseas.
Why?
Okay. Why? Yeah. But you know, before she went, she plays in the WNBA, the Women's National Basketball Association, and she had a habit before she was imprisoned in Russia of kneeling for the national anthem. She was one of those. She was all about it, you know, the systemically racist nation in which she lives. I'm happy to point out, though, that after the United States got her out of that Russian prison and got her back home, that she now stands for the national anthem. So
she does stand.
I'm ending Woke World on a high note.
Good.
I'm not saying she's a conservative. I'm not saying she's all in for everything that the nation stands for. But her words, hearing the national anthem, it definitely hits different now. She says it's kind of like when you go to the Olympics and you're sitting there, you're about to get gold put around your neck, flags are going up, anthem's playing, it just hits different. Well, being here today, she says, it means a lot. And I got to say, good honor for recognizing that kneeling for the national anthem no longer applies to her life. And I'm glad to see it. All right, that's Adventures in Woke World. We'll take a break right now. We'll come right back, and we will cover down on the final ground for the day. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making it so cool to be a conservative. Hey, listen, ZLA Solutions, they've been with us since this show began, man. I'm telling you right now, they got it going on. I was talking to him the other day, had one of the biggest years they ever had last year, and they've had a couple of great months here of late. They are good at what they do, which is, by the way, helping businesses, in their words, helping businesses to get better. They want to do all that they can to help you. They got all kinds of business end solutions they can bring to bear, but one of the things they do especially good is staffing. So if you need people, like literally, it doesn't matter whether it's onesies and twosies, special niche kind of skills, or whether you need an entire shift of folks, they can do the recruiting, the background check, the drug testing, all of it, and get you the people that you need. I always say blue collar, white collar, no collar, it does not matter. So yeah, consider this. If you need people, well, ZLA Solutions exists to do things like that for you. Just give a check out on their website, zlausa.com. They've got big name employers they're working with all over our listening area and beyond. And so yeah, check them out, zlausa.com. That's ZLA Solutions, zlausa.com. And do me a favor, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Now, all right, the text lines have gone bananas, bro. I mean, like, have you checked it out? It's just, by the way, do you eat your maple bacon donut?
You didn't say boom, you said bananas. I don't have a sound effect for bananas.
Oh, I'm sorry. The text lines blew up.
Thank you. I was waiting the entire time. No, I have not eaten it. I'm going to take it home.
I got distracted because Charlene brought you a maple bacon donut, and it went through the whole show.
I told you. My belly was so full and giant that I couldn't put anything else in
it. We don't say belly on this show.
Can't say belly.
No, we don't say belly. All right, text line. Let's see what we got in here. Wrap up the show with some of this stuff. John from Huntsville, JT from Lacey Springs just says, go with Pabst beer. And on the can, it has a picture of a bowler, a football player, a basketball player, a hockey player. And he's just saying, just go with Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. You know, there you go, the original. All right, whatever we got here. John from Huntsville, what do you say here? Phil and Boomer, you get a B+. Why did we get a B+ today? Is he still mad because he didn't think we read out one of his things from yesterday?
I don't know. Probably.
I'll take it.
It's okay, though. Thanks, John.
I'm pretty sure I average out well. Racing from over in Hawaii. He says, what's the status of the Marine still incarcerated in Russia? Well, he's still there. I mean, I just now that you asked me, Racing, his name, just Paul Whelan, that's his name. We saw him recently. The State Department went over and had a face-to-face meeting with him, I believe. But he's still there, man. They got Brittany Griner home just like that. But Paul Whelan's still there. Anita, South Huntsville, he says, don't worry. I'm sure Justine Medina would say she's a Democratic communist. Yes, that is. It's all how you couch the terms, isn't it right, Anita? Paul from Athens, he just says Brittany's a dude. I don't think so. I think Brittany's actually not a dude.
I think Brittany is a female. I just think, yeah.
Okay. Moving on.
Yeah, we'll just move on from that.
Brian from Huntsville says, this old movie has finally come to fruition. Beer with Loretta Swit. I don't remember that movie. And in addition, he says, remember the Swedish Bikini Team? So all these things, they're out now. You can't talk about that stuff, Brian from Huntsville. You know better than that. Jeremy from Huntsville says, being an anime fan, I know Assassination Classroom bestows camaraderie and pride in the nation. The teacher is an assassin, not appropriate for under 14 years old. Okay. All right. There you go. Wes from Huntsville says, Batman in New York on the subway is being charged with murder in some world. That is so true. That is so true. So yeah. So we had a good guy step in, and by the way, the GoFundMe is not GoFundMe, actually. The Give, Send, Go fund. Mm. You know, it's the Christian version that won't deplatform you if you're not woke.
Oh, right.
So GoFundMe has constantly been deplatforming what might be considered, you know, conservative causes, Second Amendment causes. In this case, I believe it's Give, Send, Go has a website or a fundraising site right now. They've raised over $2 million. For that guy's defense.
Wow.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's really cool.
That is very cool. Luann from Huntsville says, I stopped going to Target around 5 years ago. They were the first to have a gender-neutral toddler collection. Really? A gender-neutral toddler collection, complete with little boys' shirts with lace and girls' dresses with trucks. Says, last year I saw a reel where, I mean, she meant on social media, I guess, where parents were horrified about the chest binders in the girls' section. Target has been woke for a long time. Get ready for the June promotions because next month is Pride Month. I'm done with woke. I get it. I get it. Oh, John from Huntsville says, I got a B-plus for ruining Sports Illustrated swimsuit for him. All I do is tell you the facts. I call the balls and strikes, John. You know, if I didn't warn you, though, see, John, you might have picked that copy up and gone, wow, and then felt bad about yourself later.
Oh, yeah.
So
true.
I might have saved you. Missy from Faultville says, yep, a dude. I'm just going to leave it right there. Raven from Russville says, Yingling. It's the oldest beer in the U.S.
There we go. Yingling.
All right.
I like you some Yingling.
All right. You know, Sam Adams, I used to like, but Sam Adams is like doing the gay pride parade up in Boston and all that. So
stop.
Yep. What else we got? Jeff from Indiana, who did not call in today, but Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, it's time to become conservative woke. Which means if a business is going to be political, I'm going to boycott it from my list. So he's all about some conservative cancel culture is what he's saying. All right, Jeff, be safe on the road, bro. Who else we got in here? Find some, Boomer. We could sleep. I'm down all the way down to.
I think you've got them.
No, man, there's a whole bunch more.
At the bottom?
Jeff from Hazel Green. America needs an enema. Well, I don't. Okay, I'm just going to leave that hanging. Oh, all right.
Okay.
Moving on to the next text.
Oh, I just saw that.
David from Madison. Says, sign the boycott Target at American Family. Time the boycott of Target at American Family Association. Haven't been there in years, he says. So there's a boycott out there. Apparently, they're asking people to sign up.
Michelle from Ohatchee.
Yeah,
I'm guessing they're talking about the vets that are being taken out of the. Is it the hotel?
Yeah,
New York. Says, absolutely ridiculous. Ridiculous. They should unload them on Joe Biden at the White House and whoever gave the order to have the vets removed.
Wow. Load them up and take them to their home.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow.
Man.
Jim from Huntsville says, guys, our service members work to keep our country safe. Their mission is at direct odds with the goal of open borders, which is to make the country less safe. That's all the reason they need. It goes on and on. Well, you know, the bottom line is this. Great show. Tomorrow, I expect we're going to wind up having the Grand Council, among other things, working on getting some other big-name guests in here for you. But Boomer and I will be back here tomorrow at 2. And, folks, I'm just telling you, stay alert. That's the thing. Keep your head on a swivel. Watch for it. And then speak out when you see it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all have an amazing night. We're back here tomorrow at 2.